Since 1941, serving the public interest. WJZM Radio, Clarksville, Tennessee.
The views and opinions expressed on the Rendezvous Radio program are intended to provide an inside look at the soldiers and missions of the 101st Airborne Division. Fort Campbell and the U.S. Army do not endorse this station or its advertisers. Endorsement should not be implied as a result of this program or its content.
Yes! Welcome back! It's Friday.
When you hear that music, you know what day it is.
When you hear the royalty-free music,
that's right.
You know what time it is. You know what time it is. You know what day it is.
It's 13.
And you know it's Rendezvous Radio.
Yep.
Yes.
Every Friday.
Every Friday at 1 p.m., also known as 1300.
1300 hours.
And we say that because we have a huge military audience, because guess what? This is the military radio show.
It is.
All right, where we bring the soldiers of the 101st Airborne Division and their family members, the soldiers and the family members of Fort Campbell Garrison, okay, and all of the supporting units that make up what we call home here.
That's okay? Right.
And we, relay their story and their messages to you, the listening audience.
That's right. We had a really big episode last week.
Oh, last week was huge, John.
It rocked.
Huge. It rocked. All right.
Pardon the pun.
And if you want to catch all the previous shows, okay? Because
where do you go?
Because we're on our fifth show here, and numbers are coming in, and they're looking good, looking strong. Keep listening. Keep supporting. And if you want to catch the past episodes, which include episodes with the band.
That's
okay,
right.
Episode number one. All right. Strike Brigade, the Rockassons.
Yep.
All right. We had the 101st Sustainment Brigade. The Lifeline is in here. All of the Blanchfield Army Community Hospital entities. Entities. That's a good word. Entities
for the day.
Sounds like a good name for a dessert.
Yeah. I'd like to have an order of entities, please.
Yeah, a cup of coffee with entities.
Cream on it?
Yeah, two entities. Right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Two cups of coffee.
Absolutely. But yeah, to check out those entities, go to the 101st Facebook page, okay? You go to your Facebook and you type in the search box, 101st Airborne Division, and then in parentheses is Air Assault.
All right.
You click like, okay? Like that page.
It's real easy.
Yeah.
Just click it.
Just click it.
Click like.
Yeah, click it or take it.
That's right.
Click it or take it.
How do you spell like? L-I-K-E.
L-I-K-E.
That's right.
All caps. All caps. I'm your host, former Sergeant Joe Padula.
Yeah.
Now, once again, private citizen.
That's right.
Joe Padula. All right. And I was a combat correspondent for the Screaming Eagles, and not for nothing, it was an honor to tell the soldier's story on and off the battlefield, and it is more than an honor, and it's a privilege.
It
to
is.
Still be able to continue to tell the soldier's story right here as a Clarksvillian.
It's a privilege for me just to be here.
John.
Just to listen every week.
John Michaels, the operations manager of WJZM, WVRY. Those are the stations that relays the story.
That's right.
We got to say thank you to you. Thank you to the stations. Thank you to the 101st. And thank you to Fort Campbell for making this happen.
No problem.
It's not happening anywhere else.
Nowhere else.
So make sure that you tell your friends. You tell your battle buddies, okay?
And 105 is Tuesday afternoon.
Okay,
four.
So on Friday, Tuesdays.
That's right. You can hear this episode again.
Again on 105.1 FM. Awesome. We'll make sure all that information gets all up on the on that Facebook page there. Yeah. Rendezvous Radio.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. You know, and
from the top of the state to the bottom of the state, all the way down to Alabama.
Isn't that amazing?
So
if you're in Alabama, okay, and you want to call in. And
you
talk to some of the soldiers today. Say, hey, thank you. Because not for nothing, this is Veterans Day week.
Yep.
Okay, Monday was Veterans Day. We have a plethora of veterans. Oh, plethora and entities.
Yeah. Oh,
we are on
words all in once.
Webster's Dictionary is very proud of us right now. That app that I got on my phone is paying off. Okay? Man, but today's episode, okay, we have a lot of guests coming in.
We do.
It's going to be pretty packed. It's going to be pretty full. Okay, we have soldiers and soldier spouses from the 160th SOAR coming in.
All right.
Yeah, Special Operations Aviation Regiment.
Is that what that means?
Yeah, absolutely.
I learned something new again today.
And that's another thing, John. Here at Rendezvous Radio, I mean, the Army, especially the 101st, they love their acronyms. Yeah. They love them. Okay, they got an acronym for an acronym. It's called ACRO. Okay? Or an M.
See, I've come a long way. The only one I ever knew was MRE.
Right, MRE, right. Yeah. Well,
that's the only one I ever knew.
That's because you're always like ready to eat a meal. Yeah. Right. Right. You are REM, ready
that's
to eat meal. Right.
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 Yeah. But now I'm learning.
But now you're learning. And that's what we want to do for you guys out there listening in, is explain what's going on. Like with our guest today, the 160th SOAR and the spouse of the SOAR. Sore spouse. Not for nothing, they did a great event yesterday, okay, that made them sore, okay? Because physical fitness and unit cohesion and family cohesion is very important in their success.
It is.
And they're going to be explaining exactly what they did yesterday to meet that mission and meet that goal. Yeah, forget
about
it.
We get to learn some more.
Absolutely.
All right.
And then after that, we got some... last time we had medics in here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I still have those shots.
They stuck me with the needle on air.
Pardon the pun again.
I'm a bleeder. Yeah. Please, John. John, you're making me all queasy here. All right. You see that blood go gushing out of my arm?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Luckily
I got sucked with
it. Cleaned up.
Oh, yeah. Thank God. Yeah, I got an IV. I got an IV from the medics last time. But today, what's going on over at Fort Campbell is going to be the expert field. What is it? The EFMB, right? Yeah, and they're going to be coming in here, the medics, okay?
They're not bringing any IVs.
No, I don't think so.
Okay, good.
I don't think so. Last time I had to sign a waiver. This time I'm smarter. I got smarter. I'm not signing no waiver. All right? And then we're going to be having, once again, our friends from BAC, Blanchfield Army Community Hospital. They're going to be bringing in some Warrior Transition Battalion cadre.
Ooh.
Okay? The Warrior Transition Battalion, this is a great unit within Fort Campbell, okay? They are... Their mission is to take soldiers that need some type of rehabilitation, okay, and they make that happen, and they get the soldiers back into the units and back out to accomplish the mission. Hmm. And we're going to be talking to some of them today, and man, they got some great stories. We were talking to them last week for a little bit.
Should be good.
Yeah, absolutely. And then on top of that. Okay. The reoccurring. I love this reoccurring with the
reoccurring.
Reoccurring. Appearance. Fort Campbell Courier, 15 minutes of fame.
That's right.
Right. Right. We actually just came up with that name about 10 minutes ago. 10 minutes ago, we came up with the 15 minutes of fame for the Fort Campbell Courier. Great paper.
We need to make an acronym out of it.
The FFC 15M. That Sergeant Pete Mays just walked in.
He's spent his coffee out.
But the award-winning paper, and they got some great stories about what's going on at Fort Campbell Courier.
Always.
Yeah, and we're going to be getting them all in. And what I like to call the it's real soldiers stories. It's real radio. It's real radio, and I love it. It's real soldiers, real radio.
Yeah, it is.
Like we said earlier, you can't get this anywhere else. And it is, again, my honor to be able to sit here and be surrounded by leaders and heroes. And that goes for, not just the 101st, not just the Fort Campbell Garrison, but also the heroes and leaders right here at the station that stepped up and helped make this all happen. Because you the listening audience, you the people. Yeah, that sounds very constitutional. You the people, okay? You deserve it. Okay, you deserve it, and we appreciate your participation.
And
call
people
in.
Need to know what goes on.
Yes! Yes, community outreach.
Yeah.
This is a day and age where community outreach is up on the forefront of the
mission. A lot of people in town still don't know exactly what all goes on out at Fort Campbell.
Right, and we're going to fix that.
That's right.
We're going to fix that. The 101st is going to fix that, Fort Campbell Garrison, and 105.1 FM WVRY. FM, right?
That's right.
That's the FM,
that's
which
it.
You can also catch on Tuesdays.
Yeah.
Okay. And WJZM 1400 AM.
That's us.
Yeah, that's us. Don't go nowhere. When we get back, we're going to hang out 160 a store. Absolutely.
Clarksville's only radio station for local news, talk, sports, WJZM Radio.
My name is Sergeant David Lee Romero. I'm with 6101 GSAB, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio. This is Specialist Patrick Walsh, part of 6th Battalion 101st GSAB, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Private First Class Sammy Moores, Delta Company 6101 CAB. You're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Yes, welcome back to Rendezvous Radio. That's the voices of the soldiers.
It is.
And that's what I love again, you know? We're bringing the soldiers, wherever they are, into your listening device, all right? And speaking of listening device, okay, hey, if you got to step away from your radio or your computer, all right, you know, if you got a PC, all right, www.wjcm.com. Listen. That's live. It. That's it. You got a Mac? You want to listen on the Mac?
Shoutcast.
Shoutcast.com. Type in WJZM. Listen
easy.
Now.
Easy.
Too easy. All right, you got a phone? Okay, get the app, Winamp. All right, you got the, that's for the droid.
Yep.
You got the iPhone or whatever? Okay.
Shoutcast.
Once again. You can listen to Rendezvous Radio wherever you go. Only if you have reception and you pay your bills.
Yeah.
Okay? If you pay your bills, okay?
Then you can listen.
Yeah, you can listen. Oh, but yes, welcome back, Rendezvous Radio, the 101st radio show where we bring the soldiers of Fort Campbell, the soldiers of the 101st right here to your listening device. And with that, sitting in studio now, okay? There is a unit, okay, within the gates of Fort Campbell, okay? And we can't go into much detail into exactly what they do, where they do, or whatnot, because that would violate Operation Security. But they are amazing people, and they are very successful, okay? And part of that is because they invite their... they invite physical training into the, you know, leading up to the mission, and they invite their families into being a part of the unit. And that is the 160th, all right, SOAR, okay, the Special Operations Aviation Regiment. And not for nothing, we have two members of that unit sitting with us right now. One of them is a service member, and one is the service member's spouse, Sergeant Mark Moreland, a medic with SOAR. How you doing, Sergeant?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Let me tell you, it's great to have you here today. All right. You know, it's not the best weather out there, so I'm glad we're all able to safely accomplish our mission of getting on air, okay, and making it here. But Sergeant Mark Moreland, okay, you brought your wife with you, okay, Amber Moreland. How you doing, all right?
Pretty good.
Let me tell you, it's great to have you in here, too, all right? And seeing you in here, and I don't mean to embarrass you and everything, but, you know, not on mic. They were like, doing kisses and everything. And it was great to see, like, you know, there is love. Love is in the air. Love is in the air. And it smells good. It smells good. Absolutely. But you guys did, okay, the SOAR challenge yesterday, okay? Before we get into that, just the SOAR itself, okay? In your words, what is the 160th, the Night Stalkers?
So the Night Stalkers, we provide helicopter support for all the special operations that America conducts.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's pretty much what we do.
Yeah.
We go out and help get the bad guys. So.
That's what I'm talking about. And you guys, let me tell you, it is great to have you a part of the team. That is for sure. And we can't really go into too much. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Okay, but you guys are always training. You guys are always, you know, working hard to be ready to deploy and engage the enemy anywhere in the world. Now, with that comes hard training, physical fitness, and making sure that the families are part of the unit. And what's the event you guys had yesterday that pretty much did all of that?
So the event yesterday was kind of an experience for the wives to get to understand what it's like to get into the 160th.
Yeah.
So all service members who join the 160th have to go through Green Platoon. And it's an opportunity for us to learn advanced shooting and land navigation, doing some combatives, some first aid, and a lot of physical exercise.
All right.
A whole lot of it.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we have long days, come in, you know, early to work, get home really late, and, you know, the wives, they see us all tired, worn down, and they don't really have a chance to experience what we go through.
Right.
So so yesterday, we kind of got all the spouses together, and we had them experience some of what we actually do as far as to get into the unit.
Man, that's a genius move. Because, you know, like you said, you spend a lot of hours at work, okay? And the spouse, okay, you know, needs to be informed, okay? The spouse needs to be informed. It's part of the mission. And now with that, okay, being informed, okay, being that spouse that's informed, what did you learn yesterday?
Oh, it was amazing. And it was hard, but it was awesome. We were out there, and we were able to see what these guys do, not just with the Green Platoon, but also all the guys that go through air assault. We had a demonstrator do... All, is it nine?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, let's start from the beginning of the SOAR challenge, okay? What time did you guys all link up and do, and like, okay, everyone, let's start stretching?
8:30.
Okay, so 8:30 in the morning, also known as 0830. All right. And so 8:30 in the morning. Where'd you guys link up at?
Right outside of the Air Force. Or no, Air Assault.
The Air Assault School. The famous Sabalowski Air Assault School. Let me tell you. If you haven't been there, go there. All right. Bring a camera. Bring a camera.
Oh, it's crazy.
So you guys go there. What are you guys wearing?
So we're all dressed up like our husbands. We have their ACU pants on, their ACU tops on.
Right.
I got snuck in his flight fleece, so I was warm because it was 30 degrees.
It was freezing yesterday morning.
It was horrible.
Yeah, but that's part of the training. They actually made a phone call to make it a little bit colder that day.
Yeah.
All right, just to let you know.
Because I signed up for this when it was 70 outside.
That's right. That's right. So, very smart move. Very smart move on the 160th part. Now, so 8:30, there you guys are. You're wearing what they wear. You're wearing as the soldier wear. Then what happens? Are you guys briefed? Are you guys...
Well, just walking up, I can't speak for every spouse because I didn't know many of them. But I was nervous. I didn't want to get out of my car. I didn't know anybody. But
right.
I was like, all right, we got to do this. So we get out there and you sign a waiver. I didn't even read it, but it was probably like, if we kill you, you can't sue us.
Right, right.
I don't know what the waiver was. I just signed it.
That's the waiver I signed when the medics came in. Right. Yes.
And they give you this little heating pad for your hands.
Uh-huh.
And you... put your 35-pound ruck on because they made us do a packing list the night before, which my awesome husband packed for me.
did you show her what to pack? And what was in the packing list?
So it was, the combat helmet, some warm clothes, some wet weather stuff. I think there was an extra set of clothes, extra set of boots.
A big helmet.
And so kind of stuff that if she did get wet or, fell into some mud or whatever, she could change out. And if the weather got bad, then it would... Take care of it.
So now you guys are ready. You're prepared.
Yep.
Okay? You're in the right place at the right time now with the right uniform. Now it's time for mission.
Yep.
Let's do it. What happened?
So then there's 25 of us out there, and we're put into six. My team had seven people. Most teams only had six people. So there's four teams.
All spouses.
Huh?
All spouses.
And team one and two got into one LMTV.
Yes.
Uh-huh, I got it.
LMTV, which stands for? Yes.
I'm not a man.
We got him.
Yeah,
we got him.
We got him.
We got him. It's a very large truck.
Yes.
It's a very large,
very large truck.
Without a back end.
Right.
It's open, and then they put this flap down like it's
going to
keep you in there.
And if it's cold, it's even colder in there.
And there's no seatbelt.
That's right.
Yeah.
So you guys get in the truck.
Yep, and they drive us over every pothole they could hit.
Yeah, of course, right.
Across the street.
It's part of the training.
Because I swear we went forever, but we had to have just gone across the street to the...
What were some of the reactions of the spouses? Like, already?
The seats were cold.
Uh-huh.
They were like, hopefully we don't... I was right at the end, so I was hoping not to jump out. But no, everybody was good. They were excited. We were stoked. Like, once we got into the truck, we were just stoked. Everybody was so excited and happy. Some were nervous because the next step... was the air assault school, so we had to rappel.
Right.
So we all knew that was coming, and so some people with height problems,
right.
They were like 34 feet up in the air, and they're like, oh, we got to jump off a building.
Right. you guys are about to be putting yourselves in very stressful situations.
Yeah, so some were really stoked, some were a little nervous, but I think the overall, everybody was happy. They were excited.
Right. Now, okay. Now, getting into the LMTV, okay,
yep.
Getting out of the big truck, okay, now where are you guys walking to, where are you guys running to, are you guys being yelled at? I mean,
oh, no.
Bring us there.
The first part was just kind of, let's just show you what we do,
uh-huh.
What we've done in air assault school, right?
Yes.
Okay. So you guys did the walkthrough?
Make sure
yes, they had them do a walkthrough through the obstacle course.
And this was with one of the instructors from the air assault school?
We actually had two instructors. We had one that was actually taking us through, and then we had one of the trainers and he was training to be an instructor, and so he was like the...
Right, yeah.
Demonstrator.
Demonstrator.
He had to do all of them in front of us.
Absolutely.
So it looked so easy. He made, oh my gosh, I don't know this guy's name, but he's awesome.
And now here we are, okay? You're not even like halfway through your day, right?
No, it's only like 9 o'clock.
It's only 9 o'clock, yeah. And already you have met other spouses that you haven't met.
Yep.
Okay? You have already been in situations now that you didn't know that your husband had to go through, or your spouse had to go through.
I've never been through that. Maybe some of the spouses have been in those trucks, but I hadn't.
But now you're getting a more of a realization of what he has been doing during his time at work.
Yeah.
Now, that feeling, I mean, are you saying to yourself, man, I feel bad for him, or oh, this isn't too bad? What was some of the thoughts going on?
He went through air assault school when he was 19 years old, so he got in the military. We were married.
Happy birthday.
18, so he was 19 when he went through it, and that was, 9 years ago now?
Just, oh, happy belated birthday.
Yeah, 9 years ago. And I had no idea he had to do this stuff. I mean, you have to climb these ladders that are, like, so far up in the air. all of them had to be under 34 feet because of regulations.
Understood.
But we learned that part.
Right.
But it was just awesome.
Yeah.
It was so awesome seeing all of that happen.
Now, we're gonna go to a break here, but when we get back, okay, we're about, you know, you're done with the air assault course, okay, you've seen the demonstration, you're getting a realization now of what the day-to-day duties and details of one of your soldiers is, and we're going to get into now you actually implementing it, okay?
Yeah.
You guys going up there, okay, and, man, yeah, fear of heights is a big thing for a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to find out if it's a big thing for you, all right? Hey, but, yeah, we're hanging out with the 160th, the Night Stalkers, and the Lady Night Stalkers, okay? That's your group's name, right? The group that you guys have formed?
Yes, that's what they call us.
That's what you guys were called, okay. So, yeah, the Night Stalkers of 160th, the Lady Night Stalkers of 160th, they're doing cohesive building, okay? And I got to tell you, I'm very I'm excited to find out about who went down the tower and who didn't, you know what I mean? But we're not gonna, we're not gonna mention any names out here. But maybe you, maybe we'll find out if you went down or not. But don't go nowhere. All right, it's Rendezvous Radio, and we'll be right back on WJZM 1400 AM and WVRY 105.1 FM. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly. WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
I'm PFC Dave I. Yates with headquarters and headquarters company, 3rd Brigade Combat Team Rock Sons, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Private Brittany Redmond with headquarters company, 3rd Brigade Combat Team Rock Sons, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Private First Class Randifer with HAC 3rd Brigade Combat Team Rock Sons, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Welcome back to the Rendezvous, and this is your rendezvous with radio. Yeah, Rendezvous Radio. Absolutely. Let's get ready to rendezvous. I think I owe that guy money right now. Right? Right? What's that guy? Let's get ready to rumble guy. Yeah. So,
Michael Buffer.
Yeah, Buffer.
Yeah.
Buffer, right. The Buffer. Sounds like a car cleaning material. All right, we're hanging out with the, Sergeant Mark Moreland, okay, a member of the 160th Night Stalkers, okay. You are a medic within 160th.
Yes.
All right, and how did you become a member of the 160th?
So I've actually been in the Army for almost 10 years now.
Nice.
And I've been a medic the whole time.
Nice.
I kind of found out about this unit a few years ago and talked to a few people here and there. And so I got back from my last deployment in Afghanistan. I was like, you know what, I'm ready for more of a challenge.
What was your previous unit?
My previous unit, I've been in the 101st and in 4th ID.
Nice.
And, I was like, you know, I'm ready for more of a challenge, ready to do more in the military. And so I went ahead and applied, because all medics have to apply to get in. And,
right.
A couple weeks later, I got an email back saying that I'd been accepted to go to the Special Operations Medic course and Airborne School and then to assess for the unit.
Pretty cool.
So I went ahead.
Were you pumped?
Oh, I was
at this point, right?
Excited about that.
Yeah,
that's a huge thing. It's you learn a lot more. Going to go on with your career more. You're going to go to airborne. You know, which jumping out of planes is always fun.
So that's part of the criteria.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And then from there, you know, I showed up here to Campbell to do Green Platoon, and I was excited until I actually got down there. And
so Green Platoon. That is the current platoon you're with right now.
No, that was what I had to do to get into 160.
Okay, so Green Platoon is the lead in to 160th.
Right.
Okay. And, it's if you're at Fort Campbell, it'd be like your 20th replacement.
No, it's you. That was what I was saying earlier, where you have to do a lot of PT,
yeah,
long hours, all, yeah, the advanced combat skills.
I love it.
That's Green Platoon, and once you complete that, then you can actually be a Night Stalker.
Nice, I
so,
like it.
Yeah, I went to Green Platoon, made it through, and that's kind of how I ended up here.
There it is. The day that you completed Green Platoon, what'd you do?
I actually went home and had a few drinks, had a nice dinner with the wife.
Kool-Aid,
and,
right? Kool-Aid.
Oh yeah.
Oh definitely. Yeah.
And then I got ready to go hunting the next day because the next day bow season opened up.
There you go. All right. Man, that's what I'm talking about. Celebrate good times. Come on. That's a Kool and the Gang song. We owe them money now, too. Now, okay. But back to... All right. Back to the... here he is. You know, the Night Stalkers. You guys got the sword challenge going on with the Lady Night Stalkers, okay? And, yeah. Yeah, we're hanging out with Amber, your spouse.
Yes.
Okay. Where'd you guys meet?
Round Rock, Texas.
Round Rock, Texas.
Yep.
Yes.
Around Rock, Texas, yep. Or in Rock, Texas?
What? Round Rock.
No,
Texas.
Round Rock. It's the name of the city.
The name of the city is called Round Rock, Texas?
Yes.
Well, no. No.
I thought you
Round
said it was
Rock.
Round Rock.
In Texas.
Round Rock. In Texas.
Yes.
That's quite the name.
Yes.
All right, but I'm glad you guys met. I'm glad you guys, you know, made it happen. And this was 10 years ago, you said, now?
Yep, 10 years ago now.
10 years ago.
Almost 11 that we met.
That's what I'm talking about. Now, and being a spouse, a military spouse, yep. Okay, it's not an easy gig, okay?
No.
Do tell. I mean...
Well, just having to take a step back and knowing that they're tired. Because sometimes, you know, after so many times, especially with these trainings where it's... I mean, how long was Green Platoon like?
It was 5 weeks.
5 weeks.
5 weeks.
Craziness. He'd come home and he'd go to sleep, and then having kids and me working, and, you know, you have to give them complete, like, okay, go to sleep, go take a bath, and I'll finish.
Right.
So that's, but it's awesome. It's awesome seeing what he does and being able to say my husband does it.
Yeah. And now that you're getting a sample of it with yesterday's sword challenge.
This time I am proud in this because I know he had to jump over that wall.
Right. So, okay, now back to the sword challenge. You guys just, you got to see all the demonstration of the air assault course, okay? And now where are you guys heading towards?
So now we're heading towards the rappelling wall.
The rappelling wall, which is about 40 feet tall.
34
right?
feet.
34 feet high.
Yep.
Okay. Now, okay, you guys are looking at this massive thing. Okay, it's huge.
Yep.
You want to see what it looks like, go to the 101st Facebook page. They got tons of pictures of it. Yep. All right? They have a plethora of pictures of it,
plethora.
John. Plethora. Many entities. Yeah. And, yeah, because it is huge. It is... Yep. It's almost intimidating.
Very.
Okay. I had my manhood on the line there. You know, I had to...
Very intimidating, because you have one side that's... That's a wall.
Right.
And then you have another side that's open.
Yeah.
And all of us thought we were going down the wall side.
Yeah.
But we actually were going down the open
side. Wait, you guys went down the open side?
Yeah.
No.
There was no wall.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had to lower ourselves in an...
Hence the waivers.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and they had to make the seats. It wasn't like a cloth seat. Like, they had made it out of rope.
That's right. Swiss seat.
Yeah, it was like a wedgie.
Yeah, wedgie seat.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A rope wedgie.
Absolutely. Rope wedgie. And you can't pick it either. No.
No.
No way.
No, so, it doesn't match.
So here you guys are. Okay, now you're being brought up to, you're walking up the stairs, right?
Yep.
What's the thoughts going on?
Well, it started at the ground where they put these things on. You're seeing these other women do it, and I was one of the last people to go. I'm an adrenaline junkie, so I went really well. I think walking up the stairs was the hardest part.
Okay.
Because I was like, oh my gosh.
What were some of the comments, the conversations being, what were some of the conversations?
Well, some were extremely excited and like ready to get on it and jump it in front of the line and trying to do it, while others...
How many spouses is this about now, total?
25.
25 spouses.
Yep, 25 spouses there. And but we had a handful that, you know, once they got up there, you have to lower yourself and you have nothing backing you up.
Yeah.
So you lower yourself into the abyss.
Right.
Into nothing. And some of them got hung up there, you know, where they didn't want to go, but you should have seen the camaraderie. Is that the word?
Camaraderie?
Yeah, the camaraderie. Right.
Sorry.
No, that's all right.
Because the women on the bottom were just yelling their praises.
Yes.
You can do it.
Team.
Yeah, you had the instructors up there, you know, helping them down, and it was just amazing.
The Lady Night Stalkers.
It was amazing.
Were brought together.
Nobody knew anybody.
Right.
I knew one person there, but not many people. I didn't know anybody on my team.
Now, went up there, okay? You guys don't know anyone, okay?
Right.
You guys are, you know, you guys are on your mission. This is your mission now. And you guys are on mission, and you haven't trained for it, and you're not with anyone that you know, but now you guys are forced to be together. Did it work?
Oh, it worked. After that, we went and shot a bunch of guns, and it was great. We did amazing at that, and then this all kind of...
Any expert shooters? Any 40-for-40s?
No.
No.
But they weren't shooting targets. They were shooting balloons.
Oh, okay.
And I shot my balloons.
That's what I'm talking about.
all balloons were killed.
That's right. No balloons remained.
No balloons remained.
That's right.
But it all built up to the obstacle course, and the obstacle course really showed us where Green Platoon was and what these guys... They made the ladies in our teams of six. My team had seven. They carry logs and skids.
Skedcos.
Skedcos, medical litters.
We had to put one of our team members in that and carry it down. We had to flip 200-pound tires.
Yeah.
We had to do a mile ruck march.
And you guys are flipping it not just twice or whatever. You're flipping it like 50 yards, right?
Oh, they were doing like 100 yards.
Yes. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
And then we had to lift these big, huge logs that I don't know how much they weighed.
You're probably looking at about 200-plus pounds per log. And guess what? It was a little wet that morning, wasn't it?
Well, by this time, everything had pretty much dried up.
So yeah, that wood soaked in that dew.
Yeah, yeah, it was. Oh, yeah, it was heavy. It was heavy. But we did it, and you had
how'd you do it? Teamwork.
Teamwork. Oh, teamwork. Complete. Yeah, complete teamwork. You know, where we had to lower it to trade off people so we could keep, you know, everybody not hurting as much as they had to. And then we had to do the last thing. We had to do an obstacle course. And I think that was, like, the last thing. We did our ruck. We lifted our logs. We did our skid.
Skedcos, right.
I'm never going to remember.
No, and that's another thing, too. Like now you're not only introducing what you do, you're introducing a lot of the key tools and a lot of the implementation purposes of what you guys do. And now you're being exposed to all
this.
Oh,
yeah. I always heard him talk about carrying litters, and I didn't know what a litter was other than a litter of puppies.
Yeah, you
know,
yeah. There they are. They got it's 12 puppies over their shoulders. You know, let's run. Let's go. Victory's ours.
Oh, yeah, right. So we had to do litters. And
litter of puppies.
Sorry.
I could just say it. You know, woof. Now, Sarge, you're watching all this.
Oh, yeah. So okay. Actually, the funny thing about it is I was pulling medical coverage for it, making sure that everyone was staying safe.
Oh,
so I could not get hurt because he cannot work on me.
Understood, right? Oh,
there's too much pent up aggression.
I love
in
10 years. I love it. They are married. Now you're watching. I mean, are you observing and going? You know, this is good. You know, I'm not going to have to explain as much as I once had, or this is going to expose her to some of the elements that I haven't been able to effectively fill her in with.
Oh yeah, definitely. Especially when she was doing the Skedco drags, the litter carries, and all that. You know, I do that for a living. You know, it's
right.
These are all medical things. And she's never experienced it, but I talk about, like, oh, I had a hard day of training. We had to do this and that. And
I was like, you know,
now
I'm
she
sorry.
Understands, right. Like, what I have to do with it. And she can, like, picture it, like, oh, you actually had to carry some 250-pound guy with all of his gear on a litter
right.
So far. And I understand how much that is.
Right.
Yeah, I never understood it before, ever. And now I do. Like, if he said it, 250, because we put the smallest person on our team in the Skedco.
Skedco, oh, nice. There you go.
Look,
yeah. You got it. You're in.
The Skedco where he has to do like...
Raise your right hand. Sign this. You're in. All right. You made it.
But so yeah, it was awesome just being able to say that, oh, I know what you're talking about. So now I can be like, oh man, yeah, go take a bath.
And all of this too is, I mean, and they train as they fight. Okay,
right.
The reason is for the heavy stuff is because, you know, on the battlefield, okay, it's real world, okay, and it's real heavy stuff, and it's going to be very demanding physically and mentally, and to be put through those situations while in garrison is much better to do it here first than to do it out there first. That is for sure.
Oh yeah,
and so after your log flips, okay,
yeah.
And your tire carries and your, you know, pet the puppies or whatever else you guys were doing. Okay, what was the next thing?
So the next thing is the obstacle course. We had about five things we had to go through the woods on this obstacle course. We had to jump over a couple walls. We had to get some hands up. And, yeah, so I was the only one who did this. I really did flake out on one of the obstacles. So
oh,
we
no.
had about 20 tires that you had to go underneath to
yeah.
go down. Well, my cadre told me that you could either jump over or go under. I'm not going to crawl through the mud if I don't have to, so I jumped over the tire.
No, you have to. You have to. You have to.
His one of the medics that he works with was there, and he's like, oh, I'm going to so make Mark do that.
And did you have to do it?
No.
Oh, all right.
I was with the other group helping them out.
I'll tell you what, we could do it now.
Yeah.
It's a little wet out there.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
It'll make it easier. You slide down the mud. It's like a big water slide.
You know,
we're about to get ready to go to break here, okay? But I want to say thank you.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for coming in here and sharing your story. But, you know, what was it that really, I mean, you're taken away now, okay? What are you walking away with knowing?
Just being proud and really knowing where we stand and where they stand and knowing what they do when they go on these trainings and being able to, like, my group of girls are going to get together as soon as possible to go have a couple drinks. You know, my team that I worked with, even though I've never met them in my life,
right.
Brings the spouses together. So I talk to a lot of spouses and that aren't military or not my husband's unit, and they don't really know what we go through with the trainings and stuff because our husbands might not deploy for as long,
right.
But they're constantly gone.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, constantly.
Back and forth, back and forth.
Right. I mean, right. TDYs and trainings. I mean, I never hardly see him, and then he hunts.
Yeah. And then he hunts and drinks
yeah.
Kool-Aid. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So I think that's what you come back with, is that you have this amazing union that you can really
yeah.
take something back from.
And there it is, team, once again. You know, team with a unit and team at home. And,
yep.
And you guys have proven that. And Sergeant, what are you guys, are you going to crash the lady Night Stalkers training session that they got tonight?
No, actually, I got stuck with the kids.
There you go. Once again, the team helping each other out.
Teamwork.
But, Sergeant, I want to thank you for coming in today and sharing your story. Appreciate that, you know, and of course you too, you know, the military family, it's not an easy gig, but you guys are making it happen, and I thank you for your service.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
Yeah, bada bing, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to go to break here, but yeah, 160th SOAR, I mean, there they are, all right, to check out some of the pictures that are going on in here today, and to see Face to the Voices, okay, make sure you check out the 101st Facebook page, probably later on today, tomorrow, all right, but yeah, when we get back, okay, we're going to be coming in with some more soldiers, okay, the EFMB, the Expert Field Medical Badge, all right, and man, this ain't no joke, okay? This ain't no joke, and you're about to find out why. Right here on Rendezvous Radio, WVRY 105.1 FM and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely. Yeah, welcome back. Rendezvous Radio. Hanging out with a lot of studs and studettes today. It's pretty remarkable. And, man, that was great. You know, hanging out with our friends from the Night Stalkers, the 160th, Special Operations Aviation Regiment. It's happening. It's happening here. And we're going to continue to roll along, because that's what the Army does. The Army goes rolling along. And we're going to be rolling along with what is known as the Expert Field Medical Badge, okay? The EFMB, which is, I guess you could put it, if you're an infantryman out there, it's the equivalent of your EIB, all right? It's on that same level for the medics, and going to be explaining a lot of things going on, because I think it's going on right now. I think it's happening right now within Fort Campbell, all right? So, the EFMB, we got Major Tom Sherber here sitting in studio with us. Sir, good to see you. How you doing?
Hey, good, Joe. How you doing?
Always a pleasure, and we're glad to have you here. And you're the commander of the 61st?
That's correct.
And your medical unit, maybe you could describe it, sir.
Oh, yeah, Joe. Hey, I just want to say thank you for having me on here, and I just wanted to give a quick shout-out to my wife, Lori, that's back home with our 11-month-old baby.
11 months?
Yes. And then for the folks, the folks helped me out of the Expert Field Medical Badge sitting in the talk, I just want to give a shout-out to them as well. So,
yo, talk. Tactical Operations Center.
Hopefully I can represent.
Nice. Let me tell you, go to their Facebook pages, okay? Go to their sites, all right? Because what we're going to be discussing here is pretty important stuff, okay? In my opinion, okay, and this is just opinion, okay? One of the most responsible and most professional MOSs in the Army is the medic, okay? The combat medic, so tactical, so proficient, and it was an honor to see them do what they have to do on and off the battlefield. And thank you for coming in here today and being a part of this historic radio program. Yeah, absolutely, sir. Now, you guys have a blog, right, on WordPress?
That's correct.
Okay, so go to WordPress, and it's the 86th, okay? 86THCSH. Okay? Yeah. Go to WordPress, type in the 86th, okay? CSH. All right? And bam, it'll take you right to it. Yeah, I love WordPress. Yeah, me too. WordPress is all right.
Good stuff. We just set it up. So, got to thank Captain Kelly Walker for that. She's the one that's been the driving force behind getting that,
right,
that blog set up.
So. And that's all linked. You got a link on there on your Facebook page too, right? The on the www.facebook.com/86CSH. Okay, go there. All right, that'll take you everywhere. Okay. Yeah, Facebook. I love it. The social networking world. It's fantastic. And guys at the talk, get off of Facebook. What are you doing? All right. TOC stands for Tactical Operations Center, and that's because you guys have the EFMB going on right now.
That's correct, right now.
Sir, what is the EFMB?
Well, the Expert Field Medical Badge is actually the medical equivalent to, like you were, what you were saying, the EIB, the Expert Instruments Badge for
right.
medical, for all the folks in the Army Medical Department, both medics and also other specialties from laboratory technicians to medevac pilots. All those folks have the opportunity to go ahead and compete for the Expert Field Medical Badge. It's a badge that was formed back in 1965 to recognize medical excellence.
Right.
And the thing that we're doing out here right now at Fort Campbell, actually, we started it on the 8th of November, was when the end processing started. And we've got the testing portion going on from the 9th through the 16th of November. And then the written test, the first test in the testing phase for the FMB starts on the 17th of November, which is also my anniversary. So happy anniversary, honey.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And then from the 17th. Lori! Yeah, there you go. And from the 17th to the 22nd, it's going to be the testing portion of the expert field medical badge, and that's going to wrap up on the morning of the 22nd with a 12-mile road march, and then we're going to have the ceremony out of the division parade field at 09:30 on Friday the 22nd. So if you can make it, appreciate you all coming out there and supporting those folks that are going for the badge right now at Camp Hinch. But
this is a shy under a month.
That's correct.
That is amazing.
It is. It's a lot of work and effort that's been put into this thing to get this thing going. We've got over 250 support personnel out at Camp Hinch right now that have actually took about a week before this event started. We start setting up on the 31st of October.
Now, Camp Hinch is that's where all the medical training is. It's like the back 40 for the medics. Is that accurate?
Well, no. It's actually where the Warrior Leadership Academy is currently located at. They also have the pre-ranger course that's held out there. But we just try to go ahead and occupy that site when we do that, because when we do the EFMB,
right,
so often every once or twice a year, because it's got the best facilities. It's got hard stand buildings. It's got shower facilities.
Yeah.
And then the ability for us to have, a tactical operations center with a hard stand building. So it's easy for us to use that location.
Absolutely. Well, the guys are listening. What's up, Talk?
Hey, they're doing a great job out there, Sergeant Gunn and the folks. Appreciate that. But let me just go ahead and give you a few things that the expert field medical badge is all about.
Yes, sir.
They've got to do a total of 46 tasks.
What?
In all, over a five-day period. Now, the event takes place over 120 hours. The first thing they're going to do, like I talked about, is going to be a written test. That's going to be on Sunday. And they have to do, the candidates have to pass day and night land navigation. They have to do 3 out of 4 in the day and 3 out of 4 at night for night land navigation. They got to do a tactical combat casualty care. They have to get 11 out of 14 of those tasks. They got to pass those. And they got to do, they have to pass 8 out of 10 medical casualty evacuation tasks. They've got to do communication tasks. They've got to pass 4 out of 5 communication tasks. They've got warrior skills tasks they have to pass, 10 out of 13 of those. And then they've got to do that 12-mile road march at the end for a total of 46 tasks over a five-day period.
How many people are we looking at in total, sir?
Well, we started with 154. We've got a few folks that have dropped out because of some family issues and things like that. But currently right now, standing on the ground, competing for the badge, we have 149 candidates.
And like you said, I mean, there's 46 tasks, okay? There's 46 things that need to be passed.
That's correct.
And so, I mean, this is no handout.
It is not. And actually, the expert field medical badge is actually one of the toughest badges to actually obtain in the Army. It's historically got a 17% pass rate across the Army.
Wow.
So it's
you really got to know your stuff.
You really do.
You got to know your stuff.
One of the things that we've done here with the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell is we've kind of set the benchmark when it comes to the expert field medical badge, because due to the brainchild of Sergeant Major Bruno out of the 101st Airborne Division Surgeon's Office, we do things a little bit different for the expert field medical badge, and that's why we have the best success rate in the Army. But we have an 8-day standardization program, and the Army itself, when they set this up, they do a 4-day standardization program. So we've kind of bumped it up and set the standard a little bit higher for everybody else. And what that's done for us the last 3 years when we've had the expert field medical badge, we've had a success rate over 30% each one of those times, which has been the highest.
That's pretty amazing. That's like almost double. You know what I mean?
Was. So the 101st Airborne Division at Fort Campbell, like General McConville says, if you want it done, ask the 101st Airborne Division.
That's right. That's right. I mean, so he ain't kidding, you know? And with that, okay, the ones that are competing and participating within these 46 tests, doing pretty much a month-long, a challenge, it's all the different medics from all the different brigades and units?
Right. That's correct.
Okay. Now, does each brigade have a certain amount that they can send, or?
Right, it really depends on what the brigade's got going on during the time that we hold these events. I mean, like, I'll give you an example. Like, if 3rd BCT is going to JRTC, second BCT
is right.
JRTC, so they don't really have a lot of people, but 3rd BCT, they're really coming back from deployment, so they've got a full complement of slots. They got like 35 slots. Of course, 86 Combat Support Hospital, they've got about 40 slots. So it depends on what the unit's going on at that time and what type of support that they can provide to the event. The more support the the units provide, the more slots they're going to get. It's just the
makes sense, right?
Right. So the more they help out, the more a little bit, you know, the more love they're going to get, and the more opportunities for their soldiers they're going to have to be successful.
We're going to we're going to get ready for a break here, sir. But I want to get into a little bit about the tisks, okay? Because there's some. Especially that ending with that 12 miler. All right,
right.
And you're not just walking by yourself, you know, with short sleeves. Okay, you got full gear.
Right,
you got a weapon. I mean,
right.
This is a challenge.
It is,
and not everybody makes it.
No,
and you have to prepare, and you have to be ready for this. And I want to get into that when we get back. But yeah, we're hanging out with Major Sherbert, and he's with the 86th. Okay, and I'm telling you, go to their blog, go to their Facebook page. Okay, because the medics are very important people, and there's so many different types of medics. Maybe we can get into that a little bit too. Because I love hanging out with the medics, unless you know they're sticking me with the needles, and I was bleeding all over the studio. I felt bad. It's a good thing for paper towels, that's for sure.
Right.
Yeah, so, hey, don't go nowhere, all right? When we get back, we're going to have more about the EFMB acronym right there. The EFMB, right, John? Absolutely. It's Rendezvous Radio right here on WVRY, 105.1 FM, and WJZM, 1400 AM. Absolutely.
I'm Specialist Tyler Simpson from Headquarters and Headquarters Company, 2nd Brigade Strike, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Sergeant First Class Ed Tolley from the 2nd Brigade Combat Team Strike. You are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Private First Class Gabriel Perkins from HHC 2nd Brigade Strike, and you are listening to Rendezvous Radio.
Strike? That was Strike checking in. Now, Strike, sir, you mentioned Strike earlier. They're at JRTC. Strike has a big place in my heart. As for that's where I served with for many years with the 101st, and it was Air Strike. That was the radio show that became the Rendezvous Radio for our listening audience there. And you can check out all the past Air Strike episodes and all the past Rendezvous Radio shows on the podcast. Okay, so just go to the podcast site Podomatic and type in Rendezvous Radio. Okay, that's Rendezvous Radio. Okay, if you're gonna spell it out, Rendezvous Radio. Doesn't sound English, right? Sounds German. Yeah, Rendezvous. But welcome back to Rendezvous Radio. And I got to tell you, we're hanging out with a very important person here because it's what he represents. He represents the medical side of Fort Campbell, the 101st, and the Army. Because and the medics are at Fort Campbell, sir. We were talking about the passing percentage and the passing rate for... Why is Fort Campbell so successful with passing soldiers through with the EFMB?
Well, I think the big reason is that we have a different mindset how we want to do business here at Fort Campbell. I mean, it's a lot of time, effort, and resources that are putting into making one of these events happen. Like I talked about before, we got 250 plus support personnel out there. That takes away from the unit's mission back in, whether they're getting ready to go on a deployment or if they're trying to do just regular garrison operations.
Yeah.
So these people in one location trying to do this event, and we've just got a little different corporate culture on it. I mean, we're not here at what we want to do at Fort Campbell is not make it difficult, because the expert field medical badge is already difficult enough by just, following the standards that are outlined in the regulation set up by a Joint Base San Antonio down at the test control office for the EFMB. So what we try to do is make it we set soldiers up for success by trying to give them the maximum amount of training time possible before they start the test.
Right.
And I know a lot of people got an angst about that, I guess, at different locations at some of the other installations I've heard, because they're like, hey, these guys are doing it different. It's an unfair advantage to us that went through. We didn't get all that extra practice time. That's a unit's responsibility, and on. But we don't really care about all that. What we care about is making sure that if we're going to go ahead and put that type of time and resource and effort and taxpayer dollars into an event like that, then we want to make sure that we do everything that we can do to be successful.
Of course.
And if you're talking about, 7% pass rate, 15% pass rate, to me, that is not success. To me, that's failure. And I told my boss, Colonel Drennan, I was like, sir, if we get a 15% pass rate out here, you can go ahead and fire me, and I'll hang my head in shame and go somewhere and never do anything with EFMB again.
Right.
But I don't think that's going to happen due to the fact that we've you know, the mindset that we have, the way we put this thing together with the two iterations of standardization, the double amount of the training time, the focus with the non-commissioned officers that are doing the training on, hey, this is really your report card. So if you go out and get, you know, if you go out and get 10% of the people that you've trained for the past 2 weeks to pass this task, then it's really not looking good for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a different mindset. It's a different way of thinking. Instead of trying to make it as hard as you possibly can, because, hey, it was hard when I got my badge back in 1992 at Fort Hood and when I did the road march. You know,
is that when you got yours?
I did.
And nice.
It was uphill both ways.
Yes.
And, you know, we didn't
it was snowing
right.
in Fort Hood.
Right. So you hear those stories all the time, but that's really not what it's all about. It's not about trying to make it as hard as you possibly can, because, like I said, with the standards that they have set, this badge is already extremely difficult, and it bears out when you see these pass rates at different installations. Like I was talking about at the break, Fort Hood just did one in October. They wrapped it up 7% pass rate. They did one at Camp Barron last month as well, 15% pass rate. Those pass rates are not – that's not good.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to spend that kind of effort, then you want a little bit, you know, more success. I, you know, at least that's the mindset that I have. If I'm going to go out there and I'm going to sacrifice my weekends and the time away from family – and for my unit's mission, because, you know, I'm a unit commander as well.
Right.
I got a day job. But when we do this, I want to make sure that we can get the most bang for our bucks, and that's being fiscally responsible when it comes to talking about, you know, somebody else's money. It's not my money. It's the taxpayer's money.
And you mentioned training before.
Correct.
I mean, this is, if you really think about it, this is very effective, if not the most type of effective training possible, because the soldiers are taking it serious, okay?
Right.
They are giving it their all. This is all becoming muscle memory for them, okay? And to earn that EFMB, okay, I mean, is to almost prove that, hey, I am ready to implement this in real-world situations.
Right, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to make these soldiers, you know, better medics and better medical professionals. I mean, whether they go out there and they're successful or not, everybody's going to get something out of this training event, because they're going to have 8 days to be practicing these different medical events, these different evacuation events, communication tasks. They're going to be doing a land navigation both day and night. So everybody's going to get something out of this, and that's what it's really all about. You know, I mean, if you're going to spend the type of that time that we're spending, we want to make sure that we're making better soldiers, better officers, and better leaders when it comes to doing medical on the battlefield. And that's what we're really trying to get at. We're trying to get, you know, people so that they're, you know, they can do those tasks, so when it really comes down to it, and, you know, they're in a situation where they need to put those skills into practice, you know, they've had the training they need to make sure that they can save a buddy's life.
And they're ready.
Take care of business. Right.
Right. They're ready. All right. Now, personal. Okay, you got yours in 92, you said?
1992.
92. Remember 92? I remember 92.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No email.
I mean,
no cell phones.
That's three.
Well, they had cell phones, but they were those big brick cell phones. Magna P.I. had one.
We called them the Zach Morris phone from Saved by the Bell.
Right.
Right, yeah. Roseanne was on sitcom TV. Yeah. Right, yeah, 92.
The good old days.
Now, why did you sign up and serve, sir?
Initially, when
yeah.
I came in the Army, you know, it's probably a little bit out of the norm, I guess, these days, but I came in the Army for God and country.
Right.
That's really why I wanted to serve. I really had no intentions of going to college. I just wanted to do something that was that I could make a difference in, maybe serving my country. You know, grew up playing with little Army men. That's kind of weird, I guess, kind of nerdy, but that's something I always wanted to do. You know what I mean? I wanted to serve my country in uniform and be there to, if the nation needed me to, you know, fight the wars that needed to be fought.
Speaking of which, deployments, can you list some of your combat tours?
Sure. Desert Storm, 91.
Amazing.
Did Kosovo in 2000, OIF 1, 2003. Went to Pakistan in that relief mission in
right.
the earthquake 2005, 2006. And then
wow.
OIF again, 2006, 2007. That's the last time I've been downrange.
Right.
It's been a little while.
No. Sir, welcome home, of course, you know, and now with that, I mean, you've been a medic the whole time?
Well, I started off combat arms, air defense artilleryman.
Nice.
For the first 2 years.
13 series.
Right.
No, yeah.
16.
16.
16 series.
16
right.
series.
Changed it up.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
14 or something, I think. I don't know, but it is how things change, I guess. And then I switched over to be a preventive medicine technician, so I did enlisted side of the house for 7 years, and then I decided to get a green to gold scholarship and get my education and come back in as a environmental science and engineering officer. So that's what I've been doing for about the last 17 years.
And with your experience and your knowledge, you know, that you've earned through the years, okay, and today's medics, Okay. You mentioned, you know, oh, back in the day, you know, uphill both ways and everything. And are today's standards, I mean, especially with the combat tours and everything, are they the same? Are they less? Are they higher, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's definitely different because there's some things that they took out of the EFMB since I've got my badge. I mean,
right.
They don't do CPR anymore. They don't do the litter obstacle course anymore. And I think those are probably good things, but I think, you know, I've been involved in the expert field medical badge the last four times. They've done it here at Fort Campbell, and I think it's really, I'm going to be honest with you, I think the medical task part of it and the way they have things set up using situational, like, lanes, everything's on a, you go down a lane, it's like a simulated combat environment, and you react as you get to a certain point in the lane, you have to do a certain task, and it's not like it used to be where you, like, come up to a table.
Yeah.
And, okay, you got to do it, disassemble and reassemble your weapon. And then you go to the next table and you put on your gas mask.
So it's more of a combat-focused
right.
type of training?
So I think, actually, with some of the tasks that they have with more of a with a medical focus, I think it's harder now
yeah.
than it was when I went through. And, I'll say that. I mean, it's okay.
Hardest part for you when you graduated?
Hardest part for me, honestly, it was probably the road march at the end. Because, like I said, it's the expert field medical badge. So it's not like aerosol school at the end of the day where you go home and you go sleep in your rack and drink a beer
yeah.
after you get done for the hard day.
Yeah.
You're out there in the field the whole time. And I know the field conditions we have at Camp Hinch this time is a little bit nicer. But when I did it, we were in tents. You know, field accommodations, field chow, you know, the old T-rats and that food.
Yeah.
That food stunk.
T-rats.
Yeah,
Johnny, we got to get some T-rats
yeah,
in here.
Forget about it.
You don't know.
Right. But anyway, so that was the hardest part for me.
Yeah.
Really not having any real good, you know, real nourishment for about 2 weeks and then trying to do a 12-mile road march. That really, you know, and I was 22. I wasn't in the kind of shape I'm in now.
Right, right.
So
now,
that was probably the hardest part.
Now, and the 22nd, November 22nd, is the final day?
That's correct.
Okay. Now, I mean, I want to see it. I want to go to the graduation.
All
okay.
Right.
Where are you guys holding the graduation graduation ceremony?
That's correct.
Okay.
At the Division Parade Field, 101st Division Parade Field. That's where the graduation ceremony is going to be at. It's got a start time of 09:30.
Uh-huh.
So, love to have you out there. I mean, come check it out. So, we got a pretty nice ceremony we try to put on so we can go ahead and, you know, make it a memorable event for the folks that actually do succeed and obtain the coveted EFMB. So appreciate it if you come on out.
Yeah.
If you haven't seen one, I think you need to come on out.
We're going to tell the audience out there, too. And all this information, we'll make sure that it gets all on the Facebook pages, okay? Again, facebook.com/8686CSH, okay? Check out the blog, all right? Go to WordPress, wordpress.com, all right? And then in the search box, you type in the 86THCSH, all right? All these links will be on the Facebook page. But, sir, I got to tell you, you know, you really did come in here and you really did explain to an audience that maybe didn't know what an EFMB was, what an EFMB is. And for that, thank you for your service, sir. And thank you for coming in here. And, yeah, let's go do some pictures.
Okay, Joe. Hey, thank you. I appreciate your service as well. And thank you for holding this radio show. I think this spot is a great idea. It gives an opportunity for the community to you know, find out a little bit more about the military, and also, I guess, for the folks in different military occupation specialties, that
yes.
find out a little bit about what other people do, too. So that's
yes.
great stuff.
Cross-promotion of MOSs. Man,
that's
sir,
awesome.
You got to sit in more often.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. All right, then. Yeah, that's Major Sherbert. All right. He's taking off. He's going back to the expert, the EFMB lanes over there at Kemp Hinch. All right, Fort Campbell. But don't go nowhere when we come back, all right? We're going to be hanging out with our Bach friends from the WTB, all right? So it's Rendezvous Radio. I'm former Sergeant Joe Padula. And, yeah, we'll be right back here on WVRY 105.1 FM and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly. WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
STB, 1BCT, Rathstone, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
PFC Mike Wall with Bravo Company 1STB, 1st Brigade Combat Team, and you're listening to Rendezvous Radio.
I'm Sergeant Gabriel LeMay with 1st Brigade Combat Team.
Yes, welcome back to the party. The party known as Rendezvous Radio. And it's always a pleasure to introduce our next guests here, okay? Because, not for nothing, the Blanchfield Army Community Hospital has so many different, entities, All right, BOC has so many entities and so many different outlets and avenues that that provide soldiers the needs that they need, you know. And with that comes the voice of Stacey Rzepka. How you doing, Stace?
Hey, Joe. Doing good.
Great to see you again.
Thanks for having us.
Always a pleasure. You know, last week, a great guest that you brought in here from the Warrior Transition Battalion. Now, this week's guests, maybe you can give a proper introduction.
Now, we're still continuing the great tradition of Warrior Care Month through the month of November.
Yes.
So we've actually brought with us today Sergeant Grant Feeney and his wife, Leslie.
Good to see you guys. How you doing? All right?
Great.
Yeah, always a pleasure, you know, and not for nothing, you guys smell very good.
Thank you.
You guys smell very good. I know it's radio and all, but one day we will get that technology. Absolutely.
We've also got with us today Sergeant Hartley. He's actually a cadre member with the Warrior Transition Battalion.
He's the man, by the way.
He's the man.
Yeah.
He's the man. I know firsthand.
Man, myth, and legend.
Okay. I followed this man, okay, you know, as he runs through the mud and goes diving while on missions. And I was very fortunate to go like this. Oh, hey, smile, click. Yeah. Yeah, Sergeant H., good to see you.
Good to see you again, Joe.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Bada bing. That's a good handshake right there. But, yeah, now, the month is dedicated to...
Warrior Care Month. It's dedicated to all our soldiers, even on active duty or in the veteran status, who have been wounded, injured, or have gone through illnesses. You know, Sergeant Feeney actually has a personal story about going through some illnesses while he's been at the WTB and coming through them successfully. Sergeant Hartley actually has some interesting news to share about one of his soldiers, who's currently going through some illness issues right now, but has a really inspirational story to share.
And success. I mean, and that's the goal, okay? Mm-hmm. That's the goal of the Warrior Transition Battalion.
It is
to take the soldiers of the Army, bring them into the WTB, you know, units and leadership and facilities, and get them the help and assistance, okay? And all of the tools and programs that they need to be 100% once again. And let me tell you, that is remarkable and honorable, and proud to be surrounded by you guys here today. Absolutely, because all you guys are part of the team. Now, Sergeant Feeney, okay, where are you from?
Originally Toledo, Ohio.
Toledo, Ohio. Ohio is my 24th favorite state.
Oh, it's probably my 49.
He's not a Buckeye fan, I guess. Or maybe he is a Buckeye fan, that's why, you know. And your wife, maybe you can give an introduction of your wife also.
Yeah, I moved to Indiana probably after 13 years living in Ohio, and moved to Warsaw, Indiana, a small town near Fort Wayne, northern Indiana. And that's where I was introduced to my wife, Leslie.
Nice.
Through her mom. We worked at a local hospital, and actually took her to prom, and everything just... hit off very well after that, and we married a couple years later.
Nice. I'm glad you waited a couple years after prom. I know people that get married right after prom, and I'm glad that you guys are doing what you're doing, and it's great to have you here today, Liz.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And Sergeant H, okay, you are now currently a cadre member of the Warrior Transition Battalion.
I am.
And being a part of something that helps enables the healing process, what does that mean to you?
Well, you know, I kind of went through the process.
Right.
And then being able to come here, I had, a goal, a place that I wanted to reach out to the soldiers to find those that really couldn't feel that they were going to succeed and, you know, either integrate back in the civilian world or back as a fighting soldier. So that's my niche. And I just now recently got to start doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, now that you're here, you are. You're on a track and you're on a path where you're able to give back. And man, that's pretty humbling right there. Pretty humbling. Okay. And now the story that you want to get into. Okay. What is it? Maybe you can you can set it up for us.
Well, I have a soldier with ALS.
ALS.
Yes, it's a neurological disease that affects the brain and spinal cords.
Commonly known as Lou Gehrig's disease, right?
Lou Gehrig's disease.
Oh, wow. Okay. Right.
So, you know, at this point in stage in the illness, you know, he really can't move. You know, his speech is, you know, is going downhill. And, you know, his family has done everything for him, just like if he was just another guy. You know, it's just they're going on cruises.
Yeah,
you know, we just had this amazing hunt set up for them.
Now, when was he diagnosed with it? I mean, was it
about 2 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, and so here was a soldier. Okay, he was already a uniform wearing soldier.
Yes, and then was 6 years.
Oh wow. Okay, so a veteran at that, I'm sure, right? Oh, yes. I mean, with all the deployments that goes on. So here he is, and now he becomes a recipient. He gets ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Okay, and what happens then? Like, is he like? Does he go to? Was this at Bach or?
Well, they actually found out on deployment that something was wrong with him.
Wow!
He was in Afghanistan and they were receiving some kind of fire.
Yeah.
Whether it be mortars or rockets, and he really couldn't reach for his weapon.
Okay.
So his buddy and roommate with him knew something was wrong. So shortly after that, he got sent back. They thought it was something to do with his neck, a broken neck or something, because they've been doing the rollover drills in Kuwait and he'd heard it there. So, but it turned out when they got here, it was something totally different.
Wow. Now, he comes back home, okay, and he's assigned to the Warrior Transition Battalion?
Yes.
Yep. Okay, and now he's set up to go to, doctor's appointments, and, I mean, his day is now just full of trying to get back on track. Okay, how is he able to handle this?
Well, his wife, Alma, is amazing, amazing woman. She does everything for him. His children, Jennifer and Victoria, they do so much to make sure his life is no different than if he can reach over and grab that Coke.
Right. So he has a team. He has his family team.
It's Team Cogdill 976.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Awesome. And you guys can vouch for that team concept. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely, Joe.
You know, we're about to go to break here, but quickly, the importance that you two are to each other, during your process. What do you think?
It makes a world of difference.
Right.
It's great to have her as support team on the home front.
Yeah,
and then my unit as the soldier entity there for support. And I mean, without my wife at home, I'd probably be far more distraught and feel helpless on that than I would have been. But she's been a great cornerstone in my recovery and blessed to have her.
There you go.
That's been the most wonderful thing about the WTV is just their encouragement of family participation in all aspects of their care and recovery.
Right. Because you are not helpless. You are not alone. There are others that are there for you, okay? The team, okay, is there. And we're happy to have part of the team here at the here at Rendezvous Radio. As we go to break here, I'm not going to stumble over the letters this time. You ready, John? Here, ready? Here we go. You guys think I'm going to stumble? Let's take Maybe. Bets. They take Maybe. Bets. No.
I think you got it this time.
All right, that's what I'm talking. Team. That's what I'm talking about. Team support.
Break a leg, Joe.
Oh, here we go. All right. It's Rendezvous Radio on 105.1 FM, WVRY, and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly, WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
Welcome back, Rendezvous Radio. On the phone, we got, I'll tell you what. Sergeant Harley, the soldier that inspires you, okay? The man that wears the uniform that has been diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's, okay? Why don't you introduce him to everyone for us?
It's Master Sergeant Tony Cogdill.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
One and only.
One and only.
So, I mean, this man, he is known. Everyone knows, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, even Leslie goes, yes.
Everybody knows him.
That's right. Now, we got someone on the line who really knows him. Okay? We got, we need the headphones for this, because on the line, okay, we have his wife, Elma. Elma, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. How you doing? Elma, where are you calling from?
Hohenwald.
Say that again?
Hohenwald.
You know what? That's like the third time I heard that name. Yeah, that's where we have connections, Elma. You and I, we like go way back now. You know that?
We do, huh?
Absolutely. She goes, we do, huh? Elma, thank you again for calling in. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you for your support. Okay, and you are a member of the team. I just want to let you know that. And being a part of that team, Elma, how important has the WTB been to you and your husband?
if you want to talk about outstanding, from the day that he landed back in September of 2011
right.
to present time, there has been not one thing that we've needed or inquired about. That this whole team that we they are our team.
Right.
They're our extended family. If we need it, they find it. They get it. Alpha Company has been outstanding. We're on just about first name basis.
Right.
I call them anytime I need something. They call and check in with us. They come here and visit us because it's hard for him to travel these days. And I just can't say enough about the whole team. They're actually our family.
Family.
I can't ask for anything better. It's just been, they make it easier for me to do what I have to do here because they provide everything that I need.
Yeah. Now, Elma, I mean, with your struggles and everything, you coming out to reach and them reaching back, how important is it for you and your husband to know that you always have that family member known as a WTB?
I just couldn't do it without them.
Right.
I mean, like I said, if I don't know something or if I can't figure out something, all I'll do is call them and they will dig and they will find the answer for me. I mean, it's all too easy. They just do their, and it's more than a job to them. It's not just something that they got to show up and do. They generally care.
Sergeant Hartley, do you agree with that?
I do.
Yeah?
The whole team.
Now, you know Elma.
I do.
Yeah.
Very well.
Hey, you two talk, you know?
Yeah, we're the cute old couple.
Yeah.
Like Waldorf and Statler from The Muppets? Elma?
Hey.
Elma, I got to tell you, you know, having Sergeant Hartley come in here today and the Warrior TV and coming in and sharing your husband's story and you calling in and verifying, okay, and letting us know that the WTB is more than just a unit. It's more than just a team. It's a member of the family. And for you to openly and on air say that, I thank you, okay, because you mean a lot to the people in this building here and beyond.
No, we thank you. Like I said, this has just been, the whole team is outstanding. I mean, they're just so good to us. These words are just so meaning. I mean, it's hollow because I can't put into words how important they are to us.
Right.
I mean, to do what we've got to do and things that we have to deal with on a daily basis, and they make it as easy as possible for us to make sure that we have everything that we need.
Elma,
I can't say enough about him.
Yeah, well, you guys got any words to say to Elma before we say goodbye, Sergeant H?
Me and Alva talk a lot, so
man,
it's
she is fantastic.
Hours on the phone,
right? Man,
God bless your family, Elma.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for allowing me to share just a little bit of. I'm not a very public person. I don't speak well in public, but I just had to call in and just let everybody know what an outstanding team that we do have. I mean, Alpha Company rocks.
Yes, you heard it there. Elma, thank you for everything. Please tell your husband we said, hey, how you doing, okay? And as you know, you are always welcome here on Rendezvous Radio, always, okay?
All right, I appreciate it.
All right, Elma, good luck to you, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, that's Elma. That's right. Elma, husband of Master Sergeant, who was an inspiration to Sergeant Hartley. How cool was that Elma called in?
Caught off guard.
Yeah, caught off guard. Right, absolutely. You know, and Sergeant Feeney, you know, here you are, okay? And Les, you hear Master Sergeant Spouse calling, okay? Is it true? I mean, family. Is this family?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. Now Sergeant Feeney, okay, cancer, right?
Yes.
What type of cancer were you diagnosed with?
Stage 2 testicular cancer.
Right.
Yes.
Now, with that, you have been now... when was this?
I did a deployment with the 101st Sustainment Brigade back in November.
Right.
I came back November 2011.
was ramped up, ready to be back, and I had a cruise paid for, getting ready to roll out the door in a few weeks. And 5 days after returning, I had to go to the hospital, wasn't feeling well, and they said, hey, it's cancer on that. So
damn.
Yeah, so welcome back.
Welcome back. And now, what was done immediately? I mean, the hospitals then...
Hospitalization immediately, surgery
that night.
Yeah, emergency surgery.
They weren't messing around.
No.
Not at all.
Hospitalization for a few days after that, and then it was homebound for like 2.5 months is what it took to recovery on that. And then followed by... some radiation follow-ups, and then 3 months of chemotherapy, which very fortunate to have Vanderbilt so close by in Nashville. Amazing hospital. And they have the Hope Cancer Lodge for any cancer patients up there. It's like free of charge to stay there. So
throughout all his treatments, we were allowed to stay in the hotel for free.
Right.
You know, having the WTB as our liaison back here at Fort Campbell, it felt like having our own personal... chauffeur, so to speak, with the social services involved, that in the coordination in between Vanderbilt and Bach and the WTB, it was just, I just had to show up and with a smile on that and just make it through it.
How do you think it would have been different if you didn't have this type of team in place?
I don't know. I sunk to a level of depression I had never felt before going through all of it.
Understood.
It was dark times on that, and I didn't see the light, and it took the people that the WTB that, you know, I met there and at Vanderbilt, and my wife, my wonderful wife, who stayed positive and by my side through all of it, to really just stay strong on that, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, without all of them, and then without all of them, I don't know where I'd be if I'd have made it through it on that. So.
Right. And, and you got the, I mean, your recovery process now. What are you looking at?
It took, I had some setbacks on that. You know, I was set to go green to gold before all of that. PT was good, everything. I was in school. I had to put all that on hold. It took me a year to get back to the shape that I had left off on. So through the Fort Campbell's Eagle Fitness Challenge, God bless Colonel Dillinger and... Sergeant First Class...
Sergeant Major Bauer?
Yes. Sergeant First Class Gatewood?
Gatewood, yeah.
Yes. Amazing. The EF put up...
Oh, fantastic. All year long.
It gave me something to strive for, and I'm not a PT guy. I mean, who wants to get up and go run 8 miles?
I love that.
It's a level of motivation
it now.
You just got to imagine up on that. So just to have that each month, for my wife and I, we both participated in, so far, 8 out of the 10 events. And amazing. So I got cleared to return back to duty. In fact, we go to we're PCS in the Fort JBLM, Joint Base Lewis-McChord, here in 2 weeks.
Nice.
So, and I'm looking into possibly getting some requisitions to be able to come back next year to participate in some of the events.
That's what I'm talking about.
So it's
Fort Campbell as a whole. Okay, I understand your PCS, and I understand that it's time to further your career and move on to somewhere else. But how important has Fort Campbell, how important has the WTB been in not only just your military career, but you as a person, you know, and you as a family?
It's been a home to us during one of the most difficult times of our lives.
Absolutely.
When Grant was deployed and going through his cancer treatments, it's been the WTB and Fort Campbell in general has been a wonderful home.
By far our favorite duty station. We've been to Fort Sill, Fort Carson, and now Fort Campbell, and we love it here. We're sad to leave on that.
Yeah.
And we hopefully sometime we'll return back here. We'll definitely be able to call it home again for sure.
That's what I'm talking about. We got to go to break here, but I just want to, you know, again, the for you guys to actually come out here, okay, and come on here and publicly give your stamp of approval, okay, and make sure that, hey, those listening, okay, it works. WTB, Warrior Transition Battalion, the Blanchfield Army Community Hospital, okay, the people of Fort Campbell, okay, 101st Airborne Division Air Assault, okay, at times, you know, it gets frustrating, you know, things get stressful. We are put in situations that are not easy, but, you know, the mission The mission's clear, and here you are. You're a success story out of it, okay? You know, you found your inspiration, Sergeant Hartley, you know, and Elma out there, and Master Sergeant listening in, and all the family members and team members out there, okay? I mean, thank you. Thank you for publicly addressing that, yes, yes, I am a believer. I am a believer. And Stacey, with that, I mean, how can some of the people check out the sites and find out more information and get directed to where they need to go?
Well, people can always find out more about the Warrior Transition Battalion by going to wtc.army.mil. That's the Warrior Transition Command's website, and there's lots of information there.
Nice, nice. Yeah, and all that can be found also, 101st Airborne Facebook page. I mean, they got all the links shared on there. Okay, check out all the Blanchfield Army Community Hospital stuff. And before we go to break, you know, what do you have to say?
Oh, I just want to make mention of the AW2 program. It's an amazing program, and that's kind of the backbone of the WTB. Without it, look into AW2 and the Wounded Warrior Project.
They've been right.
Phenomenal with the support of the WTB on that. So if you want to find a way to reach out and support the WTB in another way, the AW2 program and the Wounded Warrior Project are great ways as well.
Right. Leslie?
God bless Fort Campbell.
Yeah,
the WTV.
There you go. Wow, Sergeant H.
I'd like to challenge command groups on Fort Campbell to come out and check out what we're doing.
Yeah.
Even if it's been, you know, a year, come back and check it out.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Obviously, something's working over there.
Definitely,
yeah.
Yes.
Let's show the world. Absolutely. Stacey, again, always a pleasure.
You too. We really appreciate being able to bring soldiers like these out.
Yeah. It's not only effective, it's a necessity. That's for sure. But we're going to go to break, and when we get back, you guys read the Fort Campbell Courier, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll tell you what, when you PCS, maybe we can get you a subscription, all right?
Absolutely.
We'll send it over to
absolutely.
You. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But don't go nowhere, all right? We're hanging out with, Rendezvous Radio, right here on WVRY 105.1 FM and WJZM 1400 AM. Absolutely.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly, WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.
Yes, welcome back, Rendezvous Radio. Yeah, where it is the soldier story that is being told, and not for nothing, today has been such an amazing episode with such amazing guests. We don't have to do anything, John. We could just sit here and just turn
sit here and
yeah,
listen.
Just listen to them.
Let them talk.
They are fantastic. You know, and what emotion was just expressed here with our Warrior Transition Battalion.
Oh,
no. I mean, unbelievable, and it's so good to hear that that there are places and positions and programs within Fort Campbell to take soldiers that need healing and give them what they can. Yeah, absolutely. They earned it. They deserve
did.
It.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But, hey, if you're listening to Rendezvous Radio, if you're on a PC, all right, make sure you go to www.wjzm.com, okay?
And then listen live.
Listen live. Listen live, right.
That's right.
And then if you got a Mac, okay?
Mac.
That's,
don't go to wjzm.com.
Yeah.
No.
Go to Shoutcast.
That's right.
Shoutcast.com. In the search box, type in WJZM.
There you go.
And then click Enter.
That's right.
On some computers, it says Return, but
okay.
I call it Enter.
Enter.
Right, Enter. Right.
Search.
Yes. You're on the phones, you droid, Winamp the app.
That's right.
It's all free.
iPhone,
Shoutcast, the app. Do it. Telling you. Because if you tune in now, you're going to be tuning into one of the regular reoccurrences. Is that a double entendre?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a double entendre, right? I can ask him because he's an editor. He knows, okay? It's Rick. Okay, we all know Rick from the Fort Campbell Courier.
That's right.
And Rick, you're Fort Campbell Courier, okay? The Post's Fort Campbell Courier is award-winning, and it covers so many different avenues and what's going on at Fort Campbell.
Right, from the local news to, you know, community news,
right
up to Department of Defense level news.
Like, this is your one-stop shop for news.
It is.
Sports, community, high level, low level, mid level, forget about it.
It's really a hyper-local newspaper, you know.
Yeah.
And there's a reason why people are buying up hyper-local newspapers is because they want to read what's going on in their community and in their families' lives and their soldiers' lives and you know, like you said, what we do is tell the Fort Campbell story and the soldier story. So.
And, I mean, with all that information, this must be a very expensive newspaper. I mean, how much am I shelling out to read this newspaper, honestly?
Nothing.
No, come on, I don't believe
free.
I don't believe that. We set that up, actually. All right, I apologize.
That was nice. Nicely done.
But this week's paper.
Yeah. It's free.
Free, absolutely.
This week only.
Now, you guys got the Rockesons on the front page.
We do. Rockeson Artillery.
Oh, yeah. Click, click, boom.
Man, just killing it out there, doing their Table 6 qualifications, doing some really phenomenal shooting, and, you know, trying to maintain relevance and readiness, and they are doing it.
And that's what I also love about your paper, too. The pictures, okay? Because you guys tell the story.
We do.
But with the stories, you guys have, like, here's the story, here's the five W's, and here's an image or images that brings the reader there.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just a, hey, click.
No.
I mean, these are images and photos that are designed and taken to lure the audience, the reader, into the story.
Right. And, we've stepped up our photojournalism efforts here at the Courier lately, there's some really good stuff coming out of the brigades. There's some really good stuff coming from downrange.
And your staff.
Our staff takes phenomenal photographs.
They are fantastic. Well, yeah, they are great writers.
Yeah.
They are great photographers.
Mm-hmm.
And not for nothing, they're great conversationalists. Usually they're in here, okay? But what do they got going on else in the paper this week?
What do we have?
Yeah, what do you guys got?
Oh, man, we've got the commissaries. We've got local news, like the commissaries are implementing a new ID scan plan, and that's supposed to take place here in the coming weeks.
Right.
We've got Currahee Brigade, leaving FOB Salerno. It's kind of a landmark, milestone in this whole Afghan campaign.
Yeah, they're getting ready to redeploy.
They are, and they transitioned FOB Salerno. I don't know if you've ever been.
I've been through. I've been through.
Yeah. They transitioned that to the ANA, and that's a huge step. Afghan commandos, Afghan special forces, being mentored by guys like from 5th Group and other groups, CJ Sotif A.
Who better to teach Afghan Special Forces than 5th Group?
Exactly.
Exactly.
And, 5th Group's on the cover this week.
Love it.
For Task Force Dagger back in 2001. First element on the ground with interagency partners and others. And
that's another great thing about your paper. Like you guys highlight 5th Group and 160th, these special operation units that,
right.
And you guys present the facts and the information that doesn't violate OPSEC security, operational security.
Right.
And this is the place to get your information, okay? Your correct and accurate information.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. It's not hyperbole. It's not conjecture.
Ain't no hyperbole.
No, it's not hyperbole.
Hyperbole. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I love it.
So, yeah, that's what we do, and we do it well.
I love your paper. I mean, last week, I saved it. I saved last week's, and I like saving the ones. I cut out the articles because last week...
Old school.
You had to... Yeah, right. That is
Grandma.
Old school. I'm making a little collage,
a scrapbook.
That's right. A scrapbook.
Scrapbooking. You're into that, Joe.
Bless your heart.
Oh, man. Bless your heart. He's making a scrapbook. But make your scrapbook, okay? And use the Fort Campbell Courier as your scrapbook source, okay?
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you said that, man, because really what we do, along with telling the soldier story, is we write the history of Fort Campbell in the 101st.
Right.
I was in the archive room at the Sink Library the other day checking out the vast volumes that we've got going back to 1968. And really looking through those, so much has changed, but so much hasn't changed for soldiers. You know what I mean? They're
right.
Still doing the same stuff they were doing 50 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's different, devices, different technology, but man, we are human.
Soldiers.
We are soldiers.
That's the first truth, too, right?
So, I threw my pen down. That's how we are.
Yeah, you were pumped about that.
Yeah.
Humans are more important than hardware or something like
yes.
that.
Yes,
right?
Yes, that's right. Right? Is that right, John?
I think that's
something
right.
Like something like that.
I love it.
Yeah.
Now, Fort Campbell Courier, you guys can get that anywhere around post. Look for the green box, all right? If you live on post, it's delivered, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
I pick mine up at the post office downtown.
There
free.
You go.
That's
John
right,
Michaels
free.
Gets his.
That's
free.
I pick mine up.
Free. And it's real information. And you can go online.
Definitely, yeah.
Go online. Go to their Facebook page.
Go to the website.
Go to the website. I mean, it's all there. FortCampbellCourier.com. All
I like
right.
My hard copy.
Yep. John's got his hard copy.
I like my hard copy.
In his microphone. Oh, you don't like the ink on the fingers?
No, I love the ink.
Oh, yes. Me too. Me too.
See, we are old school.
That's
I know
right.
I am.
Yeah. I love holding a paper, having a cup
the
of
smell
coffee.
Of ink in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. We got to get ready to wrap up here, but man, yeah, Fort Campbell Curry. And Rick, what'd you think of today's show again? I mean,
Joe, you're killing it. And what you're doing for the community, what you're doing for the Post, but more importantly, what you're doing for soldiers and families is just phenomenal here. I'm so impressed.
They need to know.
Yeah, and
they need to know.
This is a fantastic way to do that.
Right, the 101st making it happen. I mean, Garrison making it happen. Go to the 101st Facebook page, okay? Go to the Fort Campbell Garrison Facebook page, all right? Like their stuff. Read all their stuff. Fort Campbell Courier, all right? Today's episode, all right? Let's take a look back. Let's go back in time here, 2 hours, all right?
All right, rewind.
Rewind. I love it. 2 hours ago, we started off saying, hey, how you doing? All right? And then we brought in the 160th SOAR guys and family members and how family's so important to mission. All right? And then after that, we brought in the medical side, the expert field medical badge and Major Sherbert explaining what it was and what it meant to be and how important it is. And then after that, I mean, the Bach, you know Stacy very well. You guys, what a coincidence. Same last name.
She's okay.
You know, we talk about the Warrior Transition Battalion and how successful and how it's needed. Yeah. And then, of course, finishing off with Fort Campbell Courier.
Always.
The FCC.
That's right.
Right. The 15 minutes of fame with Fort Campbell Curry. I like that.
We're the closer, man.
I love the closer.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like Mariano Rivera over here.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, let's go Mets. But we got to get going, all right? But let me tell you, I appreciate you guys checking in and tell your friends and not for nothing. Let's continue to not only telling the soldier story, but listening to the soldier story. Because it's real soldiers and it's real stories and it's right here on Rendezvous Radio. We'll see you next Friday at 1 p.m. Central. All right, I'm your host, former Sergeant and Screaming Eagle, Joe Padula. All right, and John Michaels, always a pleasure, WJZM.
Right. Great day.
Yeah, check us out Tuesday on 105.1 WVRY, and check us out live
podcast
next Friday.
Too.
Yes. Absolutely.
Don't forget the podcast.
That's right, the podcast. Absolutely. Check out all the podcasts on www.wjzm.com. All right, and yeah, next Friday. It's the Rendezvous Radio. 105.1 WVRY.
WVRY 105.1 FM, Clarksville, Waverly. WJZM 1400 AM, Clarksville, Tennessee.